Today on Real Life Radio.
Do we sit in the corner and suck our thumb in the fetal position and throw our hands up and say, all hope is lost? No, Lord, we were salt, we were light, we did what was righteous. The decision was made, it was against all that. We leave it in your hands. And we get up and we live our lives.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, let me tell you about our current featured resource. It's a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. A lot of us long for a deeper relationship with God. Packer really helps us to understand that once you dive into the nature and character of God, you'll begin to feel the freedom that you've longed for. So pick up your copy of Knowing God for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series in the Gospel of Luke with a message called The Ever-Present Argument of God, Part 3. You know, the Gospel of Luke series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as really only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we begin chapter 20, we'll see Jesus teaching in the temple as the chief priests and the scribes and the elders are challenging his authority. You see, these religious leaders, they were not interested in learning. Instead, they were focused on trapping Jesus to discredit him. But Jesus, in his incredible wisdom, responds to their trickery, knowing that they were more concerned about their reputations and power than really seeking the truth. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Jesus calls to us, and by his calling, our hearts are exposed. Some want to redefine who Jesus is so that they can change him. Some downgrade who Jesus is so they can be like him, while others want to kill who Jesus is so they can be greater than him. Now with his message called The Ever-Present Argument of God, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Church, look at the history of Israel's leaders, religious leaders. They have killed the prophets that have been sent to them over and over again. That's been true throughout human history. And they beat him and treat him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. Verse 12, and again, he sent a third and they wounded him and threw him out. You guys, they were supposed to listen to the prophets. It's all based on authority. Who's the Son of God? Who's Jesus Christ? That's what they're asking. I talked about the police officer a moment ago. Have you ever been to a crazy busy city, especially if it's like Mexico City? I've been to Moscow, I've been to London, I've been to places. Maybe you've been to some very, very crazy cities and the traffic's flying around. And this little guy goes out there and he's got a uniform on. He's got usually a white band that goes across his chest. He's got white gloves on and he has a badge and he has a hat on. And the traffic's going nuts. And you know what? That guy stands right in the middle of the traffic. Would you stand in the middle of that insane traffic? No. Why would you not stand there? Because you don't have any authority. But this little guy walks out there. I've seen it in Russia. It's amazing. And the guy goes like this. And he holds up a stop sign. And let me tell you something. I don't care if it's limousines, Range Rovers, people on bicycles, rickshaws, or hot rods. There's a screeching of brakes. Ah! Everyone stops. The whole corner of the intersection, everyone stops. And this little guy's like this. And boom, they go. Why did they stop? Was it because the little old man was so cute in his uniform? No. What was behind the little old man? The authority of the nation. Think about that. That officer would never go into that traffic without his uniform on and the things that announce his authority. You know what? Jesus had a uniform on. The uniform was his deity. Well, how do you know that? Because he raised people from the dead and these guys knew it. The ministry had been founded and was obvious and they knew it. And they blew him off. And Jesus is saying that's how they treated the prophets. They all came in the authority of God, spoke the word of God, and they killed them. They blew them away. It's amazing. Now look at this. This is stunning. The relationship between God and man and God. 1 John 1:1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, we heard about this verse earlier, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Verse 2, the life was manifested and we've seen him. 1 Timothy 3:16 says that God was manifested in human flesh. But why? Why did that have to happen? You see, Jack, I don't like the idea of God becoming a human. That's just too personal. Oh, my friend, it has to happen that way. In 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. That is awesome. Why did God have to come as a man? Because you can't have a mediator. He didn't come as an angel. He didn't come as an animal. God took upon himself the form of a man. Colossians 1:20 says, for by him he has reconciled all things to himself, by him whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus did that. Why did he have to come? Because he had to connect. He had to bring together God and man, man to God. A.W. Tozer writes this, the only reasonable relationship between God and man is one of full lordship on his part and complete submission on our part. Whenever you resist authority that God has put into place, if you agree with it or not, you are fighting against God and you will not prosper. Why? Because you are not submitted to God. When God establishes the authority, even though we didn't vote for it, we submit to it in the Lord. The Christian should be the greatest citizen of any community, hands down. And in religious matters, you say, well, I don't agree with the color of our carpet. I don't agree with it either, but it was the cheapest carpet we can find. Well, how come we don't paint the walls? Everything in here is just this drabby color. I don't know. You know, you can move into a house, you paint it with the cheapest paint you can buy, and you get underway with ministry with life. Granted, this place needs a remodel, I guess. I don't know. But I want to talk to the authority on that. Hey, that's just great. That's fantastic. Go meet with the authorities on that. But if they come back and they say, well, you know what? We either keep the sanctuary as ugly as it is, so we can reach Molly, Africa, and the kids. And that particular authority over that ministry says, we've decided to reach Molly and the kids. You might say, I don't agree with that authority. I want a super duper stained glass, awesome, beautiful sanctuary. Well, I don't know what to tell you, but if the missions ministry, that's the way the money ought to go. You see what I'm saying? It gets real personal real quick. We disagree. I think God makes sure that we disagree with authority sometimes, just to see where our hearts are at. Very important. Thirdly, the sonship of Jesus Christ bridges the difference. Verse 13, then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? This is God the Father speaking in the parable. What do I do? I know. I'll send my beloved son. Oh, mark those three words. My beloved son. Mark those. Jesus, you guys. Are you awake, everyone? Jesus, you guys. If he had a slingshot, when he starts verse 13, he says, then here's what the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Poof! He's hit him right between the eyes. You want to know why? That was a term that they had heard in the Greek language, in the original language. It's the same announcement that was made when Jesus Christ was baptized in the Jordan River, and the scribes and Pharisees and elders came out to ask John what he was doing. And remember, John baptized Jesus, and he coming up out of the water, what happened? The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and God says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. They had heard that before. And they got hit like Goliath right between the eyes. Jesus is sticking the knife in and he's kind of wiggling it now. I know what the vine owner, the vineyard owner will do. In his patience, he sends his own son, his beloved son. You understand where this message is going? He sends his own son. Jesus right here, ladies and gentlemen, mark it well in your Bible. Jesus right here predicts, prophesies that the religious leadership of Israel will kill the Son of God. Don't tell me Jesus didn't know what was coming. It's absolutely amazing. You say, Jack, why is this even going on at all? Guess what? We don't have the time to get into it. Will you mark it down, though, you guys? Because this is kind of awesome stuff. Why are these guys examining Jesus the way that they are? Why are they being so mean to him like this? It's okay. First of all, Jesus can take it. Second, he knows who he is. Third, he knows what his mission is. Here you go. Before, in Exodus, mark it down, in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, before the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed to protect your own life, the Passover, because of the blood on the doorpost, check it out. You were to go in Egypt on that first Passover, in Exodus 12, verses 1 through 6, you were supposed to select a little lamb, remember, without any blemish, perfect. And for a week, you were to have that lamb live in your house, cute little thing, and you examine it. The father of the house was to examine that little lamb for any irregularities, anything that was faulty, any broken bones, any anomalies, any deformities. The father examined the lamb perfectly. Why? That lamb was going to receive the punishment of your sins. You got it? It had to be perfect to a holy God. And so the sins were confessed at the temple or in the wilderness upon the little lamb of the person or the family. The sins, according to God, were transferred onto that sacrificial innocent lamb. God takes the life of the lamb through the offering that the priest gives, right? The priest had to inspect the lamb so the lamb could be proven perfect, and then they would kill it. See the picture? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? The Pharisees, scribes, elders, the Sanhedrin had to inspect Jesus this week. Why? Because right across, I'm so excited about this, right across town, at the same time this is going on Passion Week, the priest of the temple, they were inspecting over 256,000 sheep for any irregularities for the Passover coming up that week. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Third and final point this morning, it's this. The ever-present argument of God, the authority of Jesus Christ, God's only son. We look at this, verses 14 to 16, and we'll close it up here. The calling of Jesus Christ. The calling. We don't agree with your authority. We didn't grant it to you. We don't approve. Where did you get this from? Who are you? By his calling, my friends, man's hearts are exposed. Men's hearts are exposed. But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves. Remember the huddle from hell? And this is what they said. This is the heir, the son. This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. Jesus just exposed their hearts. Wow. But Jack, they're religious. Mm-hmm. But they're dressed up really cool. They've got titles. Mm-hmm. So what? They had titles. They were, listen, church, ordained. But by whom? What does the fruit portray? These guys were actually dangerous. And Jesus is saying, what's in your heart? And they got that parable. It hit them right between the eyes. Jesus is saying, you guys, you want me dead. Now look, here's the cool part. Jesus was going to lay down his life for all of us. Remember, didn't he say, I'll lay down my life when I'm ready, and I'll raise it up when I'm ready. No man takes it from me. He said that. These guys in their hearts are plotting. We know this. We've known this for months. They're plotting to kill Jesus. Why? Because they didn't believe in him. By the way, people who don't believe in him today, they want to kill him too. Make no mistake about it. Well, Jack, what if Jesus came back today like he came the first time? Let me think for a minute. They would kill him. Make no mistake about it. Exposing their hearts because they did not believe that he was the Son, the authority of God established. See, their own thoughts, we'll dominate, we'll rule, we'll establish the kingdom, we'll do our own thing. And with this indictment, Jesus exposes exactly what's in their hearts via the parable, but they're not listening. They could not. They did not want that to be true. And by the way, I've said this before, I'll say it again. All of the cults, every single cult in the world disagrees with one another on almost everything except one thing. They all agree. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up and hear this. All the cults of the world agree only on one thing, and that is Jesus Christ of the Bible cannot be the one who the Bible nor Jesus says he is. Every cult denies the authority and the place of Jesus Christ found in the Bible. The Bible says, by the way, in Isaiah 28:15, that these people have made a covenant with death and with hell, they are in agreement. What a tremendous statement. Let's redefine who Jesus Christ is. We can change him. Let's downgrade who Jesus Christ is. We can be like him. Let's kill who Jesus Christ is so our man or our God or our prophet can be greater. Not so. Also this, the calling of Jesus Christ, verse 15, by his calling, man's plots are known. Man's plots are revealed by the calling, the authority of Jesus Christ. So they cast him out of the vineyard and they killed him. Therefore, what will the owner, what will the father in this parable do when he comes to his vineyard? What will he do to them? We don't need to elaborate on this, simply saying that the rejection of Jesus Christ to this very second brings judgment upon anyone who's living a life of rejecting him. And whatever your schemings and plots may be, Jesus in verse 15 says, just know this, there'll be a day of reckoning. And then verse 16, we end here. The calling of Jesus Christ, his calling, calling man's future, the calling of man's future is in here revealed. Verse 16, he will come and, number one, destroy those vine dressers, and number two, give the vineyard to others. This is going to freak them out. What's he saying? Jesus, and they got it. Jesus is saying, hey, you guys, because you don't recognize my authority and who I am, here's what's going to happen. My father is going to take from you even the self-appointed authority you have. You think you want to control the nation. You think you can. Guess what? It's all going to be taken from you. It's going to evaporate. And in less than 40 years from that utterance, it was gone. And so that's why it says, when they heard this, they shouted or they responded. It looks so proper in the English, doesn't it? And when they heard this, they said, certainly not. Sounds so nice. Certainly not. No, the word in Greek is, we would shout it today, no way. That's never going to happen. You can't do this to us. And unless they repented, they died in that position. Jesus has come to me. No way! Jesus says, my father so loved you that he gave me to die in your place on the cross. Trust me, never! Well, okay then, just know that if you stay like this, my father's coming back. He's going to take what's his. You don't have any authority. You thought you did. It was all self-appointed. And you three stooges who are supposed to know everything and you criticize and tear up everything, you guys representing the leadership of Israel and leading people to spiritual supremacy, you yourselves are the most blind scribes, hypocrites, Jesus said to them, because they didn't agree with the authority of God. Pretty tough stuff, huh? Causes your heart to be a little bit humble, huh? Causes you to think, my goodness, I need to re-examine and I need to be careful who the governor is. God has him in power. Our senators who voted against our wishes. What do we sit in the corner and suck our thumb in the fetal position and throw our hands up and say, all hope is lost? No, Lord, we were salt, we were light, we did what was righteous. The decision was made. It was against all that. We leave it in your hands. And we get up and we live our lives. Caesar's coming soon to your door, every one of us. And he's going to be coming and extracting 48% of your income each year from now till the Lord comes back. And what will you do? I don't believe in paying taxes. You're going to go to jail. Yeah, but they use it to fund abortions. I understand that. I'm not going to be judged for that. You're not either. They will be. The Lord is coming back to the vineyard, my friends. He's going to set it straight. What are we supposed to do? Be salt and light, stand for righteousness. And what happens if we get overruled? What if there's an authority that overrules us? It overrules us. In the end, they'll answer to God. Listen, I end with this. I really do end with this. Never, never, never must the Christian say, well, if we're going to lose, I'm just going to sit in the corner and never get involved or engaged. Then Jesus said of you, you have lost your saltiness and you are therefore now good for nothing but to be thrown off to the side. Wow. All this means God has absolute authority and he establishes authority if we like it or not. Amen. We are to pray for our president. Did I vote for him? No. Do I disagree with almost everything he does? About 99.9% disagree. But listen, he's my president. Who says, I could never say that, Jack. God put him in office. What a Christian should be asking is, why did God put him in office? We need to find that out. Is Jesus Christ holding the proper appointment in your life? Don't kick against God. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, right now, right where you're at, that there would be cleansing going on from the throne to our hearts right now. That, Father, we would be following you, your word, your spirit, your revelation, and nothing from man. And Lord, give us great discernment as your people. Jesus, your word says that we would know your voice, we would follow you, and a stranger we would not follow. We pray in Jesus' name now, Father God, that we would never, never say to anything that you're doing in our lives, who gave you the authority, Lord? And by what authority do you require this of me? Oh, Father, may we humbly fall before your throne and say, Lord, here I am. May we as a church today say, Lord, here we are. Father, in Jesus' name, may every heart in this place be compliant, humble, submissive, obedient to the very will of God. And may we know it. Lord, bless every life that's represented here today, their families, those that are sick and hurting. Father, we pray right now, Lord God, that you would have those that are right here saying today, I need Jesus Christ. That right now you'd make that decision right where you're at. Father, we give you this day and may we be obedient to you. We ask it in Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Ever-Present Argument of God, Part 3. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. There's a battle for our nation going on right now. The question is, who will lead it? Get answers at the Real Life Network televises the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, September 15th and 16th, with former President Donald J. Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, discussing what it will take for America to get back to greatness, along with a host of conservative leaders like All-American swimmer Riley Gaines, U.S. Senator Josh Hawley, Dr. Ben Carson, Pastor Jack Hibbs, and more. Go to reallifenetwork.com now to sign up for free. On Real Life Network, the gospel is never censored by big tech or the government, with faith-based family entertainment and new shows released weekly. Watch on any device, anywhere, anytime. Don't miss Pray, Vote, Stand, a free online event with Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, and other conservative leaders, September 15 and 16th, available at reallifenetwork.com or download the app for free right now. That is reallifenetwork.com or download the app reallifenetwork.com.
It's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know God. For 50 years, J.I. Packer has been helping people realize the difference with his excellent book, Knowing God. delving into the characteristics of a God who intimately knows his people and invites us to know him as well, this timeless masterpiece takes readers on a transformative journey, exploring the depths of God's character, his love, and his will for our lives. If you've ever wished for a deeper understanding of who God is and how to have a closer relationship with him, this book's for you.
This book walked me through, as a new believer, the things that I needed to know about hearing about the voice of God.
For a limited time, Real Life Ministries is offering this exceptional book in thanks for your generous donation. Your gift will be used to proclaim the truth of God's word to your community and the world, helping people move from knowing about God to knowing God for themselves. Knowing God by J.I. Packer can be yours for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.